Well, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Let's stand and turn in our hymn books to page 137. 137. This is our first Sunday in December. Let's sing some Christmas songs, shall we? Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing.
On the second.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs impart, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations move. The glories of the righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen.
Amen. That's one of my favorite Christmas hymns. Joy to the world. Amen. I'm so thankful that our Savior indeed is born. We can look to him. He's there as our deliverer. Indeed, our salvation. To know that we're right with God because of what Christ accomplished for us. What a blessing. It's good to see you this morning. Thankful for God's mercy to each of us to be able to be here together. Pray that God would be pleased to meet with us in a tremendous way, a beautiful way, that we indeed would hear from him in these days. Please, I know the announcements will be made here in a little bit, but read your bulletin. There's a lot going on during the month of December. Different classes having things. And in fact, next Sunday, I'll just give you the preface. Next Sunday, after the morning service, we're going to have our Christmas banquet, our church Christmas banquet. So please remember that. Plan to stay after church next Sunday. And certainly, we'll do our best to make sure you're fed up good. Amen. All right. Well, hey, let's take a few moments and welcome our visitors. Church family, get around. Make sure folks know you're glad they're here.
Thank you.
Amen. As you would make your way back to your seats, let's also turn to page 144. We'll sing that song, Silent Night. Let's sing the first, second, and fourth. Sing with me.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so
Now, let's stand one more time. Let's turn to page 148.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the
last.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with.
You can be seated.
Good morning. Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements. Evidently, there has been some questions and asked, do we have any information on new members? Next week in the foyer, we will have information for the new members that we do not have in the directory. And if you just can't wait till next week, call the office and we'll be glad to get it for you. So we'll have that for you available next week, and probably back on the list on the foyer. Is that right? There we go. I got that one out of the way. Check. So, yeah, check. Ladies' brunch is tomorrow at Cracker Barrel. The ladies' Christmas party is Friday at 7. There's a gift exchange and a $15 limit. Men's Christmas party is going to be December 15 at a Spring Creek. There's going to be a $15 limit. Both of those have, ladies, see Miss Marsha if you have any questions. See Brother Turner, guys, if you have any questions on that one. Like preacher said, on the 11th, we're going to have our church-wide Christmas banquet. We'll provide the brisket and everybody else bring the two sides and a dessert. Side note on that right there, on the 18th and 25th, we'll not have a children's church that day, so we'll all be in here together. And for Christmas Day itself, we'll have a unified service, no Sunday school, no evening service, just come in for a 11 o'clock morning service. And as far as the parties go, class parties, see your class, your teachers for information on that. And if you'll notice on the back foyer back here, we have a nice card box. And if you go to the other foyer up there, we also have another nice card box. Those, we can save our stamps. And if you want to get a card from one side of the auditorium to the other, it works. You know, front to back possibly. It won't work across town. So please be sure to check your box. And, you know, whatever your last name is, you know, the first letter of it, check it. And there it is. So be sure, please, to check your box. And both ends. What I'll try to do is migrate those up here for the evening service or something also. And that way we're not having to double check things. TTU also has a class, some classes starting up pretty soon, the spring semester. There's a list of classes that's going to be available back on the back foyer. That's a lot. Have we said it all? Looking at down, we said it all? I think we said it all. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, again, thank you for the season here that we get to celebrate your son's birth. Lord, thank you for him dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, I'm now asking you to be at the offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. Lord, in just a moment, the preacher comes. Please, I'm asking you to quieten our minds and open our hearts, Lord. And Lord, you give him the words you want him to say. Give him the liberty to say what he needs to say, Lord. And Lord, just hide him behind the cross. Ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Thank you, ladies. Amen. Amen. There we go. Great. Amen. Beautiful. This morning I'd ask you to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 as we begin. Covet your prayers indeed. The Lord might be pleased to help us in and through His mercy. Speak to our hearts today. Confess a great need in my own heart to just know that God would be pleased to use us for His honor, for His glory. You found your place there in 1 Corinthians, and Stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God as we read. Just a couple verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God." Then Paul goes on to explain, and we as those stewards or those that are accountable, those administrators of the things of God, that it is indeed, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Father, please help us today as we look at your word. Thankful for the beautiful song we just heard, the music this morning. Remind us of your faithfulness to us. And indeed, when we, your creation, were so unfaithful, disregarding you and so much, and yet your faithfulness, your love towards us, to give your Son on our behalf. Father, today as we look into your Word, I'm asking you to arrest our attention. Father, please, across this room, might the distractions of life and the things that are going on in each and every one of our lives in these days be set aside for this hour. Focus on you, on your Son, and on the message of this passage in the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the wicked one would have no place to enter in, that your Word would have free course. Father, I pray for each one present. There may indeed, Father, be those here today, as you and only you know, that are yet without Christ, without your Son. Please, Father, in these coming minutes, I pray that you would speak to those hearts, deal with them in their greatest need, their need of Jesus. But for every one of us that are saved, I'm asking you, Lord, help us to be receptive to what you might say today. Lord, I realize these precious folk don't need to hear from Jim Turner, but they surely need to hear from the God of glory. Please, Lord, speak to us, thy servants here, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Moreover, or above all this, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's another companion passage found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 6. And there the Word of God says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." Isn't that our tendency? We like to justify ourselves. We like to speak of those things that might make us look good. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but," listen to this, "but a faithful man who can find?" Wow. It's unfortunate, I believe, that when the subject of faithfulness comes up, we often limit our thinking to such things as being faithful to the services of the church, maybe faithful in our giving, maybe faithful in service to the Lord in some physical capacity, and that's fine. That's fine. As a pastor, I'm certainly not going to minimize those things, but being faithful involves much more than those minimal things. You say minimal things? Yes. Minimal things. I'll say this. If you're not faithful in those foundational things, you're not likely to be faithful in much more important things, of much more depth and meaning in life. Those things and others are the baby steps in a life of faithfulness. I was looking at the dictionary. It's amazing what you can learn by looking at a dictionary. looking at the word faithful in the dictionary, and this first definition really relates to what we were saying about those foundational things. The dictionary says that being faithful means being strict or thorough in the performance of duty, a faithful worker. And we do believe those are foundational things about being faithful. But listen to this. It also means to be true to one's word. True to your promises, your vows, and so forth. And then as well, there's another meaning speaking of this faithfulness. Or being steady in allegiance. Affection. Loyal. Constant. Interesting. It also has the idea of being steadfast. Reliable, trusted, all those things speak of what it is to be faithful. To be faithful. And I want us to try to focus our attention on those other points today. But again, without minimizing the first, of course. Is it not important? Now I'd say, isn't it very important? For someone who professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to be a person that is true to their word and promises. I think that should be. Is it not important for someone who claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to be steady in their allegiances, to be loyal, to be constant, to be a dependable person, someone who knows Jesus? But then as well, isn't it important for someone who claims that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves, is it not important that they would be reliable? They'd be trustworthy. Even on top of that, to be believable. To be believable. I think it's important to maybe focus on some of that this morning. You know, I believe that the Word of God along the way is a clarion call for this thing we call faithfulness. A call for faithfulness. And even at that, we see what would be some fundamental marks. And beloved, we can't really do this matter of faithfulness justice in one message. But we're going to try to touch on some things. The mark of faithfulness. And as I thought about that, I think it'd be good for just a moment to look at an individual who exemplifies faithfulness. Considering that and looking through the Scriptures, I'm immediately struck by the man Daniel. A man that was faithful. A faithful man. In fact, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, we read this about him. It's interesting. This is a statement that doesn't come from his friends, but from his enemies. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful." Wow. "Neither was there any error or fault found in him." Isn't that an amazing statement? What an amazing statement about a man, a human being. Well, the presidents and these princes spoken of in the verse would have been the King Darius's counselors, and probably as we would relate it to our thinking today, his counselors, or maybe members of the cabinet that assisted him. What were they talking about? What were they talking about when they referred to Daniel as being faithful? Again, coming not from his friends, but from his enemies. Well, the rest of the verse helps us to understand that. second part of the last part of that verse, it says, neither was there any error or fault found in him. No error. No fault found in him. Wow. Now, be mindful. These are typical politicians. They're typical politicians, and the typical politician wants to have leverage. They want to have leverage to get their way with other politicians. But Daniel didn't fit the mold. Daniel lived such a life that you could not point to anything. No fault. No error. And again, they especially in their case were mindful in areas and things concerning the kingdom. You see, beloved, his walk with the Lord, his faithfulness to the Lord carried over in all of his life. In every area and every part of his life. That even those he worked with couldn't look at anything in his life and find fault or error with. You see, we understand that these ones, these princes and presidents, they were envious of Daniel. They were jealous of Daniel because of his favor with King Darius. Or Darius, depending upon how you want to pronounce it. It's indeed amazing. Now we know from the story that these wicked men in the end had to create something pertaining to Daniel's faithful walk with the Lord. And that they used to finally get him in trouble by double-crossing even the king in the thing. But I would really like us to, if anything, we would take from Daniel and that events in his life, that if anything, beloved, would be found fault in us, it'd be like Daniel. If folks would find fault in us, they'd have to invent it, as they did with Daniel. Would we, beloved, would we commit our hearts, commit our lives to live in such a way that this sort, this quality of faithfulness would be a mark of our lives? You say, that's a tough order, preacher. Well, beloved, Daniel was a man just like us. He was a flesh and blood human being. But Daniel was one that, like as us, committed his heart and his life to live in honor before God. If Daniel could do that, you and I can do that. We have the same God. And we have the same Holy Spirit of God as well. This is the kind of thing, beloved, that you and I should desire to be guilty of. Oh my, no fault. No error. And we see in this, in Daniel's life, but also in other parts of the Scripture, the honor of faithfulness. The honor of faithfulness. There's no question that Daniel was a man of honor. There's no question about that. This man, it's amazing. This man's honor, this man's integrity, lifted him to the highest places of leadership in the lands where he lived, under at least three kings. Now you say, well, that's interesting, preacher. But beloved, those three kings were not even of the same empire. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, was the king of Babylon. But Babylon was crushed. It was defeated by the Medo-Persian Empire. Darius became the king then I read this even yesterday. Over 50% of the world's population was under the Medo-Persian Empire. That's amazing. and Daniel again rose to the highest places in the leadership of that land, of that empire. Beloved, Daniel didn't seek those things. We have no evidence to point that Daniel was someone that sought out that position. But because of his integrity, because of the quality of his faithfulness, God exalted him in those places. Wow. The honor of faithfulness. And I believe that a faithful individual will be an honest individual. A faithful individual will be an honest individual. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 5 says this. Listen, it wasn't hard to find scripture dealing with how to be faithful or this matter of being faithful. Not hard to find truth from the Word of God. Proverbs 14 verse 5, it says, now listen, a faithful witness will not lie. Please explain that, preacher. A faithful witness will not lie. Pretty simple, isn't it? But the contrast, a false witness will utter lies. Wow. I don't know about you, I like being around folks I can trust. I like being around folks that I can trust what they say. New Testament speaks of that as well. In James chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this. Again, the exhortation from James. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. Pretty simple. Let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. What's James saying? Just be people of our word. As believers, we should be people of our word. Say what we mean or don't say it. Right? Oh my. I'll try to be sweet. There are people you want to believe. There are folks that you want to believe, but you get the impression that they might be telling you what you want to hear. Huh? Again, I get that. Forgive me. I hope no politicians are here. But, isn't that what politicians are always said to be guilty of? They tell you what you want to hear. They can go to a rally on one side of town and say one thing and just cross town and say something entirely different. Tell you what you want to hear, and oftentimes what will make them look better. Oh, I don't want to be guilty of that. The obvious problem with that is, what are they telling the next person? The other side of that situation is, and be mindful of this, you listening? The other side of that is, if someone complains about others to you, what are they saying about you to others? Yeah. Don't let us be guilty of that. Someone complains about you, you can mark it down. They're probably complaining about you to somebody else. A faithfully honest person does not have to be concerned with such things. Why is that? Why does a faithfully honest person not have to worry about that? Because they ensure that their yea is yea and their nay is nay. Just stay true to your word. Speak the truth in love, the Bible says. Listen to this. Listen to this again from Proverbs. Isn't Proverbs a tremendous book? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Listen to this. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit. Interesting, huh? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. He that is of a faithful spirit is a protector. He's there to protect You hear or see something that maybe you weren't expecting to hear or see, and boy, you just can't wait to get somewhere to share it with somebody. Of course, you want to be real spiritual about it. I just want to share a prayer request with you. Please be in prayer with brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such. Oh, they need our prayers. And then you dump. Lord, deliver us. Oh my. Which is it? Where would we place ourselves on that scale, beloved? Are we talebearers or are we of a faithful spirit? Lord, help us. Are we faithfully honest? Notice, faithfully honest. Because if we're people of faith, we'll also be people of grace. We'll be people of mercy. Gracious and merciful as we that have received mercy. You know, I was thinking about this and I thought about a lot of things that we see going on. It's not really the point of my message, but where are we headed in our American society? You know, it's crazy, the things. I was reading a couple of things in preparation for this, and I just couldn't. But here it is. There was a USA Today poll found that 56% of Americans teach honesty to their children. 56%. And a Lewis Harris poll turned up the distressing fact that 65% of high school students would cheat on an important exam. They owned up to that. Oh yeah, I'd cheat. Recently, now listen to this. This is where it kicks me in the gut. Recently, a noted physician appeared on a network news and talk show and proclaimed, "Lying is an important part of social life." Lying is an important part of social life, and listen to this, and children who are unable to do it are children who may have developmental problems. Somebody's got a problem. Listen to this. Now this kind of bears it out. I read the story of a high school values clarification class. Sorting out values. It's conducted by a teacher I can't even pronounce the name of this town, in New Jersey. So the girl in the class had found a purse containing $1,000 and returned it to its owner. Good for her. The teacher asked for the class's reaction. This is a values clarification class. Every single one of her fellow students concluded the girl had been foolish. Most of the students asked what he said. Excuse me. Most of the students contended if someone is careless, they should be punished. Can you tell my blood pressure is rising? When the teacher was asked what he said to the students, he responded, "Well, of course I didn't say anything. If I come to from the position of what is right or wrong, then I'm not their counselor. I can't impose my views." What's the definition of a teacher? Someone help. You know, it's not a time for confession. But I remember the consequences when I was in school of taking something that belonged to someone else. Yeah. I thought that was used to be part of education. Teaching real values of what is right and what is wrong. Well, a faithful individual, be an honest individual. It's amazing. I know all of you are honest folks. Every one of you, I look around here, man, I couldn't, just honesty just reeks in this room today. You ever been to the store and the cashier gives you too much change? And you say, oh, you gave me too much, and you give it back to them and they almost fall over in the behind the register? Huh? I had that happen one day at Walmart, and the clerk said, where are you from? Huh? I said, what do you mean? She said, oh my, you don't know how many times I've been in trouble for a short drawer. Just being honest. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Does His Spirit indwell us? Is the Word of God and the Spirit of God a guiding principle in our lives? Then we should be honest. We should be people of honesty. Of course, you pocket the extra $5 and then hand them a tract. Sure, that'll work, huh? Lord, help us. We need to be people of honesty. But then secondly, and I know there's so many of these, we won't have time, but a faithful individual will not be a greedy individual. Well, there's a lot here. A faithful individual will not be a greedy individual. Again, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20 says this, again, very clear. Starts like this. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Again, what's Solomon doing? He's contrasting that one who is greedy with the opposite. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. We're mindful of the companion passage in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, where it says there, for the love of money. Everybody can probably repeat the words. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Goes on and says, which some have coveted after, greedily sought. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. Please mark this down. The desire for wealth will most likely take you away from the things of God. The desire for wealth will more than likely take you away from the things of God. Those who are focused on being wealthy will quite likely find themselves, as we read here, rooted in evil. Rooted in evil. Now again, with that, we acknowledge that Paul's not saying money is evil. He's not saying that wealth in and of itself is evil. No. The Bible record contains several wealthy men who are also godly men. Godly men. The difference usually boils down to who possesses what. Do you possess your money, or does your money possess you? Who possesses what? Those wealthy. Again, in the Bible, it's interesting. I was trying to consider this and praying about it and thinking about it. And you might be able to find some exceptions. But the wealthy men in the Bible who were also godly men were usually wealthy because God had exalted them because of their faithfulness. We might think of Abraham, and boy, he was a mixed bag to say the least. But in the end, we'd sure call him a man of faith, as the Bible does. Daniel, Joseph, others that God had magnified. Even King David, going from the sheep flocks to the king of Israel. Think about this. I was reading this. This is interesting. Might bring it a little bit home for us. The rich young ruler there in the Scriptures who approached the Lord Jesus Christ and again the Lord dealt with him and telling him to go and sell his riches and follow him. And he went away. He went away rather discouraged. Well, the rich young ruler, without a question, made a wrong choice. But think about this. In spite of his wealth, the rich young ruler couldn't take a ride in a car. He couldn't have life-saving surgery if he needed it. He couldn't even buy an antibiotic. He couldn't switch on a light as he entered a dark room. Listen to a radio or watch TV, and that probably wasn't being too bad, but he couldn't put his dishes in the dishwasher. He couldn't check his email or send a text. He couldn't mow his lawn. He couldn't take a flight in an airplane. He couldn't enjoy air conditioning. And we could go on and on. So if he was rich, how about us? A lot of things are relative, aren't they? He couldn't enjoy any of those things that we take for granted every day. With all that, try to sum up with a couple statements here. Really, there's a call for faithful men. A call for faithful men. You know, as Paul was discipling Timothy and teaching Timothy and continuing to mentor and work in Timothy's life, even after Timothy was in the ministry, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 these words, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What's Paul telling Timothy? Watch for faithful men. Keep your eyes open. Be vigilant to find faithful man in the work there that you can work with. You can teach those things that I've taught you in order that those faithful men could go on and they could teach others as well. But who is it that he was to commit those things to? Faithful men. Faithful men. Do you hear that, fellas? You see, I believe with all my heart God can use men of honor and honesty. That God can and He will use such men. And besides that, Metropolitan Baptist Church needs such men. We need men. Hey, we need faithful men who will step up and be counted and be part of what's going on for God right here. We need that. But more importantly than that, I want God to be honored. I want Him to be honored by by using faithful men in and through our works here. Oh my. The quality, now listen to this. The quality of your faith, men, will draw others to you. The quality of your faith may well draw family. You got lost ones that aren't in church. You got lost ones. You got friends and family, I should say, that are lost. You make an impact on their lives by being a man of faith. A faithful man. Now again, I can't say this for certain. And you know, I was praying. I said, "Lord, give me an illustration. Give me an example that I can use for our folks to illustrate that." And I can't say this for certain, But I've shared my testimony. I've shared my relationship early on with it at the house I grew up in. But I can't say this for certain, but beloved, I believe that my mom and dad are in heaven today because I chose to be faithful. It wasn't always popular. It wasn't popular with my dad and mother in the early stages. My father was, I've shared this with you. He told me flat out, I don't want to hear those things in this house. I mean, he just about in that tone. And it didn't sit too well with him. When his son and his son's family went to church instead of to the family picnic on Sunday. Not that we didn't want to be there with our family. We wanted to be there. And we'd be there as much as we could. But hey, I made a commitment. Jesus had saved me. He had delivered my soul. I wasn't going to turn my back on Him for anyone. Even for the mom and dad I loved with all my heart. Huh? But as they watched our lives and our family, they began to take notice. I wanted to see my dad and mom saved. Oh, I wanted to witness to them. I wanted to see them walking with the Lord and beg God for them. And along the way, and I told you, I was up in the balcony of the First Baptist Church of Holland, Ohio. I'd just come off the bus route and probably still wiping the grease off my hands from some rickety old bus that had broke. I sat down in the balcony, and as I always did, I'd kind of do this number. The floor would be pretty filled up, and I'd look out, kind of see what the crowd looked like. And I looked out there, and I looked and looked. And there, about halfway down, about by where the floor is as they're sitting, there was my dad and my mother sitting next to him. Hey, it had been a year or two down the road. Huh? Of course, I sat back in that old pew. We had some rickety old pews up there in the balcony. Sat back there and wept a little bit and worshiped a little bit. You know, it was a while. It was a while. And one Sunday morning, the invitation was given. My little mama, she was just a little, she's a little thing. And she stood up and she pushed right past my dad and went down in the altar and got saved.
Amen.
I can't say it was because Marcia and I chose to be faithful. But I know this. It made them curious. Because they knew the mess that their son had been. And they knew he was a different man. Huh? And today they're enjoying each other in glory. Call for faithful men, guys. You be faithful. You be faithful for your wives' sake, men. You be faithful for your children's sake. You be faithful, men, for your grandchildren's sake. Hey, Sunday school teachers, you need to be faithful. Huh? When my kids was growing up in the church house, and they was looking around, I wanted them to see their Sunday school teacher sitting over yonder. Hey, I wanted their Sunday school teacher to be a testimony of that faithfulness. Just ought to be so. That should be automatic, shouldn't it? But gals, I don't want to leave you out. Ladies, I don't want to leave you out. also in 1 Timothy. Call doesn't just stop with men. We need women. The same character and commitment. Quality folks. Honest folks. Honorable ladies. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's speaking of a deacon's wife. A description of a deacon's wife. But hey, it should be the description of any lady that loves God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, speaking of those wives of a church's deacons, it says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober. Listen, faithful in all things. What? Faithful in all things. What's that mean? Again, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Faithful in all things. In every area. In every area. Oh my. What's the conclusion? What's the reward for being faithful? Just quickly. The reward for the faithful. Now listen. And you can correct me. That's okay. It's okay. You can correct me. But I don't believe that reward is going to be commended on those that are content to be church attenders. I don't think there's any medal for just showing up at church. Huh? You say, preacher, shame on you. Sorry. But I don't think there's going to be no medals handed out for just showing up to the church house. Folks that are not willing to be committed to the Lord and His program. Huh? Have their reward here on this earth. I understand that God is ordained to accomplish His program through believers. Faithful men and women who are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I also believe that God's ordained to do that through His program, the local church. Just the way He's put it together. What sort of folks are going to hear the Lord's commendation and glory? You know the passage, beloved. What sort, what quality of folk are going to hear God's commendation in glory? Matthew 25, in verse 23, it says this. His Lord said unto him, what is it? His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What kind? Faithful folk. Faithful folk. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. And the Lord of that servant went on to say, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of thy Lord. There's the reward. Entering into His joy. The joy of the Lord. Oh my. What did it say? Back there in Proverbs chapter 28. We'll just focus on the first half of that verse this time. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. What do you mean? I believe God will bless a faithful man. Does that mean his life will not be without troubles or any? No. No. The sun came up this morning on the saved as well as the lost. Huh? The storms and the clouds come into the lives of folks that love God and those that hate God. But I know this, and you hear me say it often, God doesn't pay on Fridays. Huh? His reward is certain for those that love Him and are committed. Hey, those that are faithful. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be home waiting for the ball game to come on. But I believe with every fiber of my being, God blesses His faithful. Those that are willing to serve Him commit their heart. Hey, commit their heart and their lives to Him. Because your life won't matter to God until your heart is committed to Him. How about it? How about it, church? How do we want to be known? Do you want to be known of one of God's faithful? I know if you're saved. I know that if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the longing of your heart to one day hear those words, isn't it? Well done. Well done. Thou good, honest and honorable, thou good and faithful servant. Oh Lord, might it be. Might it be the mark of our lives that we would be counted among God's faithful. Begins with knowing Christ, doesn't it? Begins with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Do you know Him? He is the ever, ever faithful one. He was faithful. He left glory. Came to this earth planet to lay down His life to die in my place and your place. To die and suffer the punishment, the wrath of God that I deserved. And by the way, that you deserved. Do you know Him? A faithful life starts with Him. Let's stand together, beloved. Lord, I'm thankful that I can preach and talk about a faithful God. Thankful that your Word has an abundance, a wealth of truth about what it means to be faithful. And Father, I'm asking you as the pastor, the shepherd of this church family, please speak to our hearts today. Lord, I don't know what the needs might be back through this room, this auditorium. Lord, it may be there's folk here today that are even now without Jesus. They took their last breath today. May spend eternity under your wrath and your judgment for sin. Please, might they see a faithful Savior who loved them and gave His life for them that they might be saved. The Lord, as well, I pray for every one of us that is saved. Please, Lord, might the example, the truth of your Word speak to our hearts. Lord, I don't know. There may be some in this room today that had acknowledged that they need to be more faithful. They need those qualities of faithfulness to be manifested in their life. Lord, I trust that we all strive to be honorable and honest in our dealings, that our character and our integrity would be right before you. But I'm just as certain that there's areas in our lives that we could do better. That our words, our thoughts, and even our deeds could better honor you. And Lord, I do pray, as Daniel of old, that our hearts, our lives would be committed to live before you in such a way that this old world would not be able to find fault or error. Oh God, help us to be those that would live blameless. Lord, please, please, even at this time, work through this congregation. Deal with hearts, deal with lives. Father, please give liberty to those who need to get in this altar. Just let them do it. Those that just want to pray, those that want to pray for others, Lord, just give them liberty. Do as you direct, as you lead. Oh, Father, help us. Help us, Lord, as a people, as individuals, and as a church. In Jesus' name, And for Jesus' glory and honor and praise we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 155. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence. Humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
I'm not going to repeat or re-preach the message. I just want to challenge us, please. Men, women, young people, commit yourselves to be faithful. People that would be counted faithful. The world's watching us. Dad, your children are watching you. They see an honest man. Man of integrity and honor. Might they see that? Mom? How about us, Grandma and Grandpa? I so pray I'd be an example to my grandbabies. They might see Jesus, huh? Might see Jesus in us. Oh, might it be so. Amen. Amen. It's good. Brother John, come.
All right. Our course this month is Silent Night. There's the words, or if you need the hymn book, it's 144.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round. infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. You're dismissed.